viscous fluid.
Bill, this is actually kind of an amazing opportunity. I mean, how many people actually get a chance to say whatever they want to Jason fucking Voorhees?
Hey, Buck.
How you doing, you badass, maggoty, blown-up fuck? Suck this! Suck it.
For over 20 years, the mere mention of the name Jason Voorhees has been enough to send a shudder of fear through the hearts of an entire nation.
There's only one way to put an end to him of all time. And I'm the only one that knows the way. So if you want him dead, truly dead, $500,000 is my fee.
Planning on smoking a little dope, having a little premarital sex, and getting slaughtered? So, why are you going to the camp?
Well, now that Jason's dead,
we're thinking about smoking some dope, having a little premarital sex, and not worry about getting slaughtered.
Ah, to be young again.
Hi, this is Kelly Maroney from Chopping Mall and the Zero Boys, and you are listening to The Hysteria Continues.
And indeed you are. Oh. I always forget that little bit at the end, but indeed you are.
You do.
I don't know, always. Anyway, nothing ever changes. And we are back again at the first show of 2017. And this is episode 133. And we are finally covering the pinnacle of the Friday the 13th series. Non-disputed champion of the franchise, Jason Goes to Hell. And you may have noted a little bit of sarcasm in my voice there, but we shall come to that a little bit later. But yes, first show of 2017. Very pleased to be back. Did everyone have a good break? Is everyone still on holiday, or you're back working?
I was not on holiday.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
Yesterday was my first day off.
Really? What, over the whole break? Over the whole of Christmas?
Well, I had 2 days off for Christmas where I had to go visit family, but yesterday was my first sort of me day, so...
Okay.
Yes. So no break for me, but lots of money, and I bought myself an Xbox.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What are you going to play on that?
I'm playing FIFA 17 at the moment.
Oh, that's very...
very manly. Yeah.
Very manly, Eric.
Eric is currently the star striker for Carlisle United.
Blimey. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's not something you expected to hear in 2017.
No.
Yeah, the new Butch Eric.
Here's something else you don't expect to hear in 2017. Wibble, 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 wibble. My elbow is made of peanut butter.
Well, probably most people did expect to hear that, Eric, to be fair. But, I'm glad you're sort of finally got a little bit of time to yourself. And
Yes,
thank you. Nathan, did you have a nice break? Nice Christmas.
Yes, I'm still off today, so that's nice.
Excellent. And did you drink too much on New Year's Eve?
I did.
You did, okay. Well, we were supposed to be doing a commentary yesterday, but that's slightly delayed, which has already been
because,
announced.
Because Nathan was hungover and vomiting.
Yeah, Nathan ruined it for all. But no, we will be recording the upcoming commentary for Pieces for the new Arrow video release, smashing new release of that, coming up later in, well, probably about March time, I think. But we'll be recording that a little bit later in the month. So we did. So you were able to have a hangover without being interrupted yesterday, Nathan, which was good. And Joseph, how are you doing? Did you have a nice Christmas?
Oh, I had a great Christmas. I had a huge Christmas movie marathon of all my favorite Christmas films and TV shows. It was started early in the morning and didn't finish until real late at night, but it was a grand old time was had by all, and all being me. So,
did you watch Jingle All the Way?
I certainly did.
Classic movie.
Yes, I'm the one person who likes that film.
I think it's okay.
Yeah,
I think it's
entertaining. Yeah.
I think it's almost so bad it's good. Unlike
put
a certain program,
down. No.
Unlike a certain program or a certain film we're going to be talking about today, Jingle All the Way is so bad it's good.
Why don't we just cover Jingle All the Way instead?
I think we should.
Yeah.
Well, if it was coming up to Christmas, we could. But now it's we've all the Christmas decorations come down in our house today, and they're all being put back in their black box and put away in the attic. So,
of course, it's a black box. It's probably a black Christmas tree as well, is it?
Yeah, it's all black
with black lights on it.
We found, had a little bit of difficulty finding it because everything else was black. Yeah, like the grave. So,
yeah. Why just put up a tombstone and put lights on it?
Well, I had a very un-goth Christmas anyway. I was in Lanzarote, so
I know.
In the sunshine. Mm. On the beach, sitting on the beach and taking photos of sunsets and flowering cactuses and stuff. So that was very on goth.
Some might say you're a girl.
Why would they say I'm a girl? Because I take photos of flowers and you're playing an Xbox.
Yeah, and I'm playing football on an Xbox. Yeah.
Well, I think we all know the truth, Eric, don't we?
Female.
Eric's a real man, boy.
I am.
Why are you? He's a real boy now.
Why are you playing for Carlisle United or whatever they're called?
I don't know. Oh no, I was transferred there.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Aren't they a bit shit?
I'm an 18-year-old novice footballer in the game, been transferred to Carlisle United. Yeah.
Right. So you're not playing for Real Madrid yet or anything like that?
Not yet. No, but any day now.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll keep us abreast, as it were. So, but we are, so we are going to be visiting Camp Crystal Lake, or what pertains to be Camp Crystal Lake, a little bit later. But let's have a little chat about what we've been catching over Christmas. Is any kind of slasher horror movies taking your fancy during the break? Joseph, how about you?
The only slasher film I watched was my annual viewing of Black Christmas. But other than that, no, I haven't had a whole lot of time to watch anything. I do have a copy of The Autopsy of Jane Doe, but I haven't watched it yet. I think I might do that tonight.
Who did watch that last time? Was it?
It was Amanda.
Oh, Amanda, that's right. Of course it was Amanda. Yes, yeah, so I caught that over Christmas, and that was definitely worth a watch. I watched that Christmas Eve.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So.
Cool. So, okay, well, thank you, Joseph. Nathan, how about you? Have you watched anything?
I mean, aside from my annual Black Christmas watch, unfortunately, no. It's been very hectic holidays.
Okay, well, fair enough. I mean, Christmas is a time for family and maybe not watching too many slasher movies. But Eric, how about you? Have you?
Well, no, I've been so busy working. But then just before Christmas, I did watch The Shallows, which was the shark attack movie from, I think it came out in the summer, which I really enjoyed. Possibly not a slasher, although I'm sure Joseph could make a case for it. You could. The shark is Jason, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. No, I thought it was really good. It's just it's basically a woman stranded on a rock sort of quite close to the shore, but she's been attacked by a shark and she needs to sort of, you know, figure out how am I going to get to safety before the tide comes in. And it's a neat, taut 80-minute movie. And it has kind of a sort of semi-ridiculous climax to it. But I thought it was thoroughly enjoyable. Really, really good. I'm very surprised. I wasn't expecting that much from it. Mm. It's kind of similar setup to Open Water, which was the movie, I think it's about 12, 13 years ago. But done much better, I think, in this case.
Cool. Okay. And I haven't seen that yet, but I think you've seen that, Joseph, haven't you?
No, I've been meaning to catch it. I should probably just add that to my list for tonight because I plan to watch a few movies tonight.
The chick in it is super hot. I think you'll like her.
Yeah, I can't remember her name, but I...
No, I can't remember her name either, but she obviously she's just in a bikini for the whole movie, so...
Yeah, well, that's...
You'll be happy.
This is for me.
This is the new Eric, isn't it? Talking about super hot chicks and playing
football.
Yeah, I know.
Football.
I know.
Computer
what's
games.
Happened?
I know.
This is my New Year's resolution.
To be not a bear anymore?
Yeah, I'm now I'm a jock now.
Oh, dear. Well, you're going to be bumped off soon in the slasher movie. But excellent. Okay, well...
Yeah, so the bears always get bumped off in slasher movies too.
That's true.
The rare occasions there is one.
You start, like, pumping iron and going to the gym daily.
Yeah.
You know, the women they love.
Yeah, and I'm going to start listening to Bon Jovi. Woo!
They love a vascular man, Eric.
Yeah.
I've got a feeling this is one year's resolution. It's not going to last that long, though.
Hey! Yeah, it's kind of over now. It's like
he's already on the Kit Kat bars.
I am.
You'd be sipping banana daiquiris before you know it.
Yeah. And Malibu and pineapple.
Well, there you go. Yes. Right. Mm. Well, I've kind of actually, Eric, did you catch Inside Number 9, The Devil of Christmas?
I did, and I fucking loved it.
It was great, wasn't it?
It was brilliant. I just thought the ending was like really cleverly done because I wasn't expecting it. And I just thought because it was shot in the style of kind of 70s British television. Mm. You know, and I'm imagining, I don't know if they did it, but it looked like they used sort of really old-fashioned television equipment to film it.
They did. They got it out in the 1970s. Mm. They got original 1970s video cameras out and used them and shot on video, sort of 1970s video. Yeah. So it's very cleverly done. If you don't know what Inside Number 9 is tells an unexpected sort of Twilight Zone type show, but it's done by two people from the League of Gentlemen who, again, it's not the League of Gentlemen as in like superhero, but League of Gentlemen is like twisted British BBC kind of comedy horror show. And they kind of do, it's the start of a new series, but it's shot like, if you've ever seen like the Brian Clemens thriller or sort of stuff like that from 1970s TV, British horror kind of shows, or kind of ghost stories like Armchair Thriller and those types of thing, or the Thriller for Brian Clemens, then it's very much shot in that kind of style. So it's kind of pastiche.
I have to check that out. Sounds interesting.
And it has the director doing an audio commentary. There's the echo back again.
It's a welcome back to the 2017 echo. But it has an audio commentary by Derek Jacobi. He's playing a director. But, yeah, it's a very clever twist in it. It's very well done. It's only 29 minutes long, so it's just like a half an hour short. So if you get
it's called Inside it. Number 9?
It's Inside Number 9, and that's the name of the show. And the name of the episode is The Devil at Christmas or Devil in Christmas?
Something like that, yeah. The Devil at Christmas or something. Because the Krampus is kind of the central horror element of it, although not really, but sort of.
I will see if I can acquire that somehow.
Okay. Mm. Yes. So I watched that, and just the other, very briefly, I'll talk only very briefly about a couple. One, I saw Mercy on Netflix on the plane, because you know Netflix now, you can download things to watch later. So
it's great. It's a great invention.
It is.
Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty neat. Yeah. Load up my iPad with that a lot.
Yeah, excellent. And so, Mercy, which I took a chance on it because it had the cover photo with somebody in a ski mask. So it sounded like it might be a bit slasher-esque, and it is in places. It's a bit like a slightly more boring You're Next, about a family reuniting with their dying mother, and they're talking about what they're going to do with her money when she dies, and then people start getting killed off one by one, and then there's a siege of the house, and it has an interesting twist to it. So that's all I'll say about that, but that might be worth a watch if you're stuck for something to watch. The other one I did watch, which I had high hopes for, because I'm sure I heard some good things about it, was Hayride, which from, I think it's about 2012, about a kind of Halloween hayride, where a real killer turns up and starts killing people.
What's a hayride?
Well, I didn't know what a hayride is. Are hayrides popular in the States or in the South?
At Halloween, some places, there's like a haunted hilltop place here in Chattanooga. Does like a, basically you get on this horse and buggy, and it's, you know, full of hay, and they go around the woods at night and tell ghost stories and things like that.
It's a brilliant idea, in so much it's kind of perfect for like a early 80s slasher. It's kind of the kind of thing that I think if it'd been made in 1982, it could have been really good. Heart was in the right place, but it was just not. It's too much, too little, too late. There's first half, it was taken up with not very interesting characters, or getting reminiscing about not very interesting times with each other, and then the killer turns up and starts bumping people off. But by that point, you know what it's like. It's a bit like, well, like the movie we're talking about today, once it wears out your patience or your kind of, we suspend, not disbelief, you suspend kind of boredom. You think, well, I'll give it a chance. And once it kind of wears out that welcome, it's quite difficult to recapture your attention. So this is that kind of film. And amazingly, they did a sequel to it, which unfortunately I have, well, maybe fortunately for me, I have no interest now in watching. But has anyone else seen Hayride? I think, Nathan, you said you started to watch it.
Yes, because I like the trailer, and unfortunately, I mean, I just found it to be kind of dull. Mm. You know, I hate to badmouth any movie, but it just wasn't my cup of tea.
Yeah, well, maybe the sequel.
Well, I have a feeling you're going to badmouth something today.
Well,
then again, it is you, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, Nathan could be the wild card.
Yeah.
Or maybe not, but we'll see. Well, that's kind of what we've been watching. We've got actually...
Can I just say one other thing? I don't like to critique it too much because I was watching it with a group of people and we were kind of talking through it, but I saw the new Blair Witch as well.
Yeah.
And as you were saying, and you saw it in the cinema, Justin, didn't you? And I think I recall you saying that you were surprised at how similar it was to the Blair Witch Project. So it's almost to the point where it's more of a bigger budget remake than it was a sequel.
Yeah.
So from what I saw of it, which was, I say, I was paying attention to maybe two-thirds of it or so, it did look suspiciously like almost a shot-for-shot remake. I mean, they've added in the drone thing, and there's more special effects. You see more aftermath and you see glimpses of the demon and stuff. But I was genuinely taken aback at how similar it was to Blair Witch Project. I mean, it looked good. I'd like to watch it again properly. But it didn't have any surprises as such, or it didn't really add anything to the mythology of the Blair Witch, from what I could see.
Hmm. I saw that at the cinema too. just watch the original.
Hmm.
That's my take on it.
Yeah, it was just a good.
There was a fun bit where somebody literally gets snapped in half, which I liked.
Oh, Eric, that's a bit gruesome.
But you like people getting split?
How gruesome!
But you like people getting split in half, Eric?
Well. Talking of people being split in half, that's the one. Well, we'll talk about one of the good bits in Jason Goes to Hell shortly. But so we've been catching up. We've actually, funny enough, for a film which possibly won't divide opinion amongst us. But as you know, we've been covering the Friday 13th movies one by one every Friday 13th. So we didn't want to let the let this go. Do we know how many Friday 13ths there are in 2017?
We did miss the last Friday the 13th. I remember that.
Okay, well, so we're not exactly following tradition, but we're kind of...
No, but that was the only one. That's the only one we've missed since we started. Yeah.
Right, okay. So we've got this one. And then, of course, then after this will be Jason X at some point.
Freddy versus Jason.
Freddy versus Jason. And although there will be, of course, the new Friday the 13th coming out at some point, I imagine. I don't even know if they started making it yet, but...
There is another Friday the 13th in October, so...
Okay. So
as an interesting aside, getting back to my glorious Xbox, they have like a film library on it on iTunes, whatever the Xbox equivalent of that is. And there's a film on there called Friday the 17th, which I think it's only half an hour long. But I don't know if any of you have ever heard of it. I haven't watched it because it costs $2.99 to rent or whatever. But
it's porn.
Is it?
Probably. No.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just guessing.
No.
That'd be something like Friday the 69th or something, wouldn't it? I would have thought.
That would be, yeah.
But, of course, there is going to be the Xbox Friday 13th. Yeah. But there's going to be the Friday 13th game coming out soon, isn't there?
Ooh, yes. I hope it comes out on the Xbox.
I imagine it should do, yeah. But
I'm not good at those type of games, though.
But you're already...
Is it destined for, like, PlayStation or what? I don't know.
I'm not sure. I don't know. But Eric, are you any good with games that you're bouncing balls about?
Yeah, I like ones where you're playing with balls.
I have a Wii U. I'm kind of hoping it comes to the Wii U, so I really want to play it.
I don't think it will. Isn't that quite old?
The Wii U is the upgraded version of the Wii.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Okay.
Well, I have both. So.
Okay. Well, I have the PlayStation. I have the PlayStation 4, so at least one of us will get a chance to play it. I'm sure at some point. But yes, well, let's move on to...
I can't wait to pretend I'm Jason Grant killing people. It'll be such fun.
Oh, Eric. See, yes. Well, anyway, let's move over.
Killing people makes me happy.
Yeah, let's just draw a veil over that.
To be more mature is not taking hold.
Or to be more butch. Okay, anyway, quickly, here is the trailer for Jason Goes to Hell. And who, Joseph, are you coming back in after this?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Horror has many faces. Death wears many different masks. But pure evil wears only one. This is your final chance to see it. Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday.
Jason Voorhees, the living, breathing essence of evil, is back for another fierce fling. Tracked down and blown to bits by a special FBI task force, everyone now assumes that he's finally dead. But everybody assumes wrong. Jason has been reborn with the bone-chilling ability to assume the identity of anyone he touches. The terrifying truth is he could be anywhere, or anybody. In this shocking, blood-soaked installment to Jason's carnage-ridden reign of terror, the secret of his unstoppable killing instinct is finally revealed, and once you know the chilling facts, you'll see him in your nightmares, and he'll see you in hell. I think I'll start off by saying that there is a sliver of a great idea in Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday, as barren a wasteland of crap that it is, but I think the idea is better suited to a movie that's not Friday the 13th, or not a Friday the 13th film. And that sneeze probably agrees with me.
Yeah,
it's a cough. Sorry.
It sounds like a sneeze.
Well, I've had a cold, so yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I think the Jason saga works on its kind of most base level more so than a lot of similar films, because there's always an undercurrent of playfulness to its kind of bare minimum, plot theatrics. And, for my money, I think the Friday the 13th films typically handle the hack and slash, histrionics better than most. When they start mucking with the formula like they do here, I think the playfulness is kind of swallowed whole by this incessant need to be kind of clever or quote-unquote better than its formula. And I don't know, you just don't watch, a Jason movie hoping to get smacked upside the head by a screenplay that thinks it's better than its viewer. I want Jason killing teenagers at a camp setting. That's pretty much it. Having said that, I do like the idea of a body-swapping psycho, but I don't know, use it elsewhere, not in a Jason film. Furthermore, if you're going to tout that Jason goes to the fictional land down under, actually send him there, not in the last 10 seconds of the film. I don't know. To me, it all just feels so cheap and like TV movie-ish, despite its, better than you script. It feels like it was filmed at like an impossibly fast frame rate and then slowed down, so it's got that kind of almost shot on video look to it at times. It gives off like a really jarring effect, in my opinion. I don't know, none of the characters really stand out either, despite some of their there being a decent amount of talented character actors on board. Yeah, I like a lot of the special effects, but that's pretty much as far as I can go with this film. I mean, it's so cheap and the score is so repetitive. It's like someone will be talking, Jason or Jason's body double or whatever won't even be on the screen, and you'll hear the same kind of dun 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 over and over and over and over and over again ad nauseum. I don't know, when we last covered Jason Takes Manhattan, I think I lamented that it felt like the beginning of the end. After, revisiting Jason Goes to Hell, I kind of long for the beginning of the end. What about you, Eric?
Yeah, well, I would agree with most of what you said there. I do think it feels very much like a TV movie for some reason, just a very gory one. To me, it's definitely the weakest of the Friday the 13th series, and I include in that Jason Goes to Jason Takes Manhattan, Jason X, and the Friday the 13th remake. I think this is the weakest one for me. It's not an awful movie. I mean, I've seen plenty worse, courtesy of our friend Nathan Johnson, a.k.a. Rhubarb Lady. He has provided us with plenty of worse movies, but just this film just... I find it really boring, and it really, really struggles to hold my attention every time I watch it. And it's strange, because when you look at it on paper, it seems that there's lots of action in it and there's lots of gore. But for some reason, I just find it incredibly boring and dull. There are a few things about it that I think are okay. I mean, I like the opening sequence with Jason being lured in by the FBI agent, and I like the use of the old school music from the earlier films, which gives a kind of a nice retro vibe. But from here, it goes majorly downhill. The body swapping thing stolen from The Hidden is illogical in the context of a Friday the 13th sequel. I know Adam Marcus, the director, is constantly saying, oh, well, I'm just trying to deliver something different and all the fans want something the same. The fans are stupid, blah, 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 blah. I have no problem with a filmmaker wanting to do something different with a sequel as long as it's interesting, and this just isn't interesting. It's really, really dull. Now, I have to give him some leeway because he was only 23 when he made the film. So when I was 23, I couldn't have done anything approaching this, I have to say. So kudos to him for getting a film made, but I just don't like it at all. I don't know if anyone else thought of that. Every time I saw Jason doing the body swapping where the slug type parasite thing came out of his mouth, it reminded me of that South Park episode where the kids discover that if you shove food up your arse, you can poo out your mouth. Do you remember that? Does anyone remember that episode, or did I dream that episode?
No, I imagine that resonated with you, Eric, very strongly.
This is the new mature me for 2017.
Yeah.
And even though his screen time is quite limited, I didn't like the Jason's look in this movie at all. I don't like this new sort of mutated look with the skin growing around the mask at all. I mean, it's a good effect, but I there's something about it that just feels cheap and sort of straight to video or something. Another stumbling block for me are the characters, who are incredibly bland. The real TV movie of the week type people. They're personalityless, except for Creighton Duke, who is the opposite end of the spectrum. He's got too much personality and he's obnoxious and horrible, and he makes you cringe every time he's on the screen because I can't understand his character, and I just hate every time he's on the screen.
That's weird, because he's the only character I liked in the film.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, he's just there's no explanation to why he's so quirky and weird. Why does he need to break the guy's fingers to give him information about Jason Voorhees and how to kill him? That's just bizarre. And then there's all those ridiculous new rules they've set up. You know, they've suddenly shoehorned into the franchise. Jason has a sister. He needs her to regenerate himself. He exists as a slug-like parasite, et cetera, et cetera. It reminded me of a lot of Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare, which came out a couple of years before, because they also did the same thing where they introduced all these characters who were suddenly related to Freddy, and they're the only ones who can kill Freddy and blah, blah, blah. And again, Freddy's Dead was an absolute turkey, in my opinion. So I'm not sure what the slasher movie franchise is. Obsession is with introducing relations into the plot line, you know, like Halloween 2, Halloween 4, Freddy's Dead, Jason Goes to Hell. Possibly Empire Strikes Back is to blame for all this nonsense. I don't know. Some of the special effects in the film are really good, and often good special effects can rescue a movie for me. Not in this case, though. The tent scene with the woman getting split in two is spectacular. The guy who melts after the Jason parasite has left his body is incredibly gooey. But just it's nothing in there to save the movie from being just so incredibly dull. And I mean, no amount of cameos from the Book of the Dead or Freddy's Glove or mentions of a Myers house can save it. It feels like a straight to DVD snooze fest, and it's one of slasher movies' biggest disappointments, in my opinion. And you know, I never thought I'd say this, but it's even worse than Jason Takes Manhattan.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. One thing I want to ask you, Eric, as the guy who you know, is a kind of, I guess, a facial hair aficionado in some terms. Why does Jason, or the in this case, the coroner, why does he shave that guy's mustache before he enters his body?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I'm not sure the people who wrote the script had any idea.
That was just weird. Anyway.
Jason, or Justin knows lots about kinky, sexy stuff. Maybe he'll know.
I think that's the pot calling kettle black, Eric.
Hey!
All right, we'll go with you then, Justine.
He called you a girl's name.
Thank you, Josephine.
he called you a girl's name.
Right. Well, I agree. I mean, I'm not going to be a great defender of this film at all. It kind of bored me rigid, not in a good way, when I was watching it the other day. I think any film that's got like a Leslie Jordan in it and it still falls flat is, you know, is a failure all around, really. There were bits of it I liked. I liked the opening scene was okay. It's quite fun, and of course the scene which I believe, without going into massive amounts of background, was added at a later date, was the scene with the horny teenagers on a campsite who get bumped off by faux Jason in remarkably gory ways, or certainly the woman who gets split in half with a kind of tent pole or whatever it is. I mean, that was all quite well done. I kind of think they could have done this movie, they could have done similar things, but done done it where they kind of faux Jason goes to a campsite and kills teenagers, and still done all this stuff around it. I just don't really. It felt, you know, you've hit the nail on the head when you're talking about it being like it felt like a TV. It felt very flat. It didn't escape its confines at all. It felt, you know, although there were some scenes outdoors, everything felt like it was kind of almost shot on TV sets rather than like a proper film. The diner where a lot of the action was set just felt like it was just the diner. There was no sense that you were in a town or anything beyond anything. I watched the unrated version because I haven't got it on Blu-ray or DVD. I still got the VHS, which I bought in the States years and years and years ago, the unrated version. So it even comes up with this film has been formatted to for your TV. So, but it's an unrated version. So I'm curious, did everyone watch the unrated version or did anyone watch the rated version?
No, I watched the unrated version.
Yeah. I wouldn't watch the cut version because the unrated is the only reason to see this film, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I just wondered actually how much different it was. I mean, it was just so many different things going on in it. And I agree, it was kind of like The Hidden is not the best kind of thing to rip off for this. And it was just felt like they were kind of floundering around, desperately trying to keep their franchise afloat, even though this is ostensibly the last film in the franchise, which, as we know, you know, we've already been there with the final chapter. So it was kind of, you know, they must have known and we knew that it wasn't. Although, essentially, it did kind of kill the film off, although it made a healthy profit. It just felt very, very flat. It's, you know, I just found it a bit of a chore. None of the characters were particularly interesting. It's 1993 for me is kind of, I know we're probably in that kind of time now where, like, yeah, you know, hipsters probably think the 90s are the greatest thing since sliced bread, but for the horror movie, the kind of early mid-90s were a real washout as far as I was concerned. I can remember, like, back then it felt like horror was dead. There wasn't really, you know, everything was kind of straight to DVD kind of sequels, and all the big franchises were dead. 80s horror was looked on as a kind of really passé, which of course it kind of was at that point. And in the same way as that, like, when people look back 10 years ago and you think, oh, that looks really naff now, it was back in the early mid 90s, everything horror related people looked at it as really naff. And I remember this when I started Hysteria Lives in 96, I think it was, and those kind of early 90s times, it felt like no one else liked horror movies or slasher movies. They, you know, I felt very much alone in liking those movies. So it just felt like this was passé, it was over, it was half-baked, it was just, you know, unfortunately, the best days of Friday the 13th franchise were long behind it, and to be honest, I'd much rather watch Jason Takes Manhattan than watch this again, so.
Can I just ask Justin, you mentioned that not even Leslie Jordan could save it. What's he famous for? I know who he is in this movie, but I don't know what his background is.
Well, he's kind of, he's probably best known for being in Will and Grace, that's where I know him best from, as kind of playing the kind of like waspish kind of foil to Karen in Will and Grace.
All right.
And he's, Nathan, you might, what else has he been in? He's kind of...
He's one of those character actors that's been in a bunch of stuff. He was in The Help. He was in, let's see, God, he's been one of those people that's done a lot of stuff. He's done like a lot of TV shows that I've watched.
He was raised in Chattanooga, according to IMDb.
Actually, several of my friends have hung out with him. Oh. I haven't yet, but I'm sure, you know.
You better say nice things about Jason Goes to Hell then, if you're going to plan out to hang out with him.
Who did he play in Jason Goes to Hell?
He was Shelby. Yeah, he was the
little guy that in the restaurant that got fried.
Oh yeah.
But he's kind of playing against type, isn't he? He's playing against type in this because in most of the other things you see him, he's quite like camp and quite sort of waspish. And in this, he's trying to be almost like the kind of like the hard boiled fat fryer in a dirty diner.
Like he plays FIFA on the Xbox.
Exactly, it's not very convincing.
Hey, I don't know what you're insinuating.
I bet you're doing some kind of like fashion thing or something. You're doing, you know, It's probably like Princess Fifi's kind of
currently
adventure.
It's currently downloading Barbie Rapunzel's Adventures in Toyland, but until that's fully downloaded, I'll be playing FIFA 17.
Okay.
Okay, Nathan Johnsoni, what do you think of Jason Goes to Hell?
I don't like it. Unfortunately, you know, I feel awful having to say this about a Friday the 13th film, but it's one of those movies that the whole time I'm watching it, I'm like, if this was like Jason killing, you know, a bunch of teenagers at Camp Crystal Lake, I'd be all about it. But I feel like they were trying to do something different and totally failed. Because it almost feels, in a way, like sci-fi-ish to me, and you guys know how I feel about sci-fi anyway. So, I mean, I just didn't like the direction they took this movie in. I mean, it's not all bad. The tent death scene in the unrated version, that's obviously a really good death scene in the film. And I also really liked the way Jason killed Joey B by smashing her face. And I don't know why that always makes me laugh during that scene, because her face just looks really funny after he hits her.
It looks like she sucked a lemon.
Yeah, exactly. But, no, I mean, everything else is just so blah. I mean, it's just nothing was interesting about this film to me. I mean, I think you were very right when you said that all the characters feel very bland except for, like, Creighton's character. But I thought he was just whatever to me as well. Not necessarily bland, but, you know, I just didn't like him. You know, I mean, I was very hard-pressed to find any characters I liked in this movie, and it wasn't because they're all unlikable. It's just because they're either unlikable or boring. I mean, that's the only options that I could find in this film, and I don't know. Just like, I like my Friday the 13th, you know, very simplistic. You know, I don't need all this. You know, we got to, you know, have Jason, you know, jump from body to body and all this nonsense. It was just nonsense to me. People always complain about Friday the 13th Part 5. Oh, well, it don't have Jason in it. Well, this one pretty much doesn't either. So, you know, I mean, and of course, the people that complain about Friday the 13th Part 5, they may hate this one too, for all I know. I'm just saying, like, this one to me is worse, because at least Part 5 kind of felt like Jason for most of the movie. This one didn't really feel like him at all, to be honest.
Mm. One thing. Oh, keep going.
No, I'm just saying, like, that was about it for me. On a scale of 1 to 10, I might give it a 3.
That sounds about apt. One thing I found amusing about the film is that they make this big deal out of Jason's, you know, relative being the only one who can regenerate and then kill him off. So they spend a lot of time trying to get the baby to safety. And at the very end, you know, the baby's in the house with the regenerated Jason and the girl and the guy. And, you know, they defeat Jason at the end and they walk away into the sunset. I'm thinking, I think you just left the baby in the house.
Interesting you should say that, because I was listening to the audio commentary on the DVD before we started recording. And they do mention that at the end. They said he's John LeMay's character is actually carrying the baby, although it isn't obvious visually. But they did put in the sound of a baby gurgling or chuckling or something to try and make
I did not notice that.
No, but they said that. They said that was a fault on their part, because it looks like they've just walked off without the baby. And unless you hear the sound of the baby, you'd think that. So,
did they?
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, I was wondering in the commentary. Did they mention the always another thing that makes me chuckle is the two hitchhikers, the girls, when they go for a piss in the woods, they have the quickest pisses in the world. Have you ever noticed? They pull down their pants and then pull them back up after 2 seconds.
You notice that a lot in horror movies. That people go for poos and wheeze really quickly. Yeah.
I've never known anyone to. It was just like, it was literally just pull your pants down. And then I always thought it was kind of it was a little bit trivia, but Michelle Clooney, who's one of the women who gets split in half, and she is was in Queer as Folk, the American remake, as one of the power lesbians in that. And I always thought it was a really undignified scene, not her being split in half, but. When she goes for a piss, because she pulls down her pants, and off camera, you've got, like, you know, it's not showing her lower half, but she pulls down her pants, and then if it hasn't been blocked off, you would have seen, you know, the full moon, basically. And I just wondered what she felt about this film now. I don't know if she's ever talked about it,
That sex scene in the tent is quite graphic for Friday the 13th. I suppose part five would rival it for buttock thrusting action.
Well, it's kind of interesting that you've got a lot of again, not getting to massive amount of background, but there's a lot more male flesh on show in this film, isn't there, compared to most of the other Friday the 13ths. And I think the director said that if there was going to be female nudity, he wanted to match it with male nudity for, like, equality's sake, which, you know, is welcome.
Or maybe he was bisexual.
Or maybe he was, I don't know. But it was kind of... But also, given the fact that, from what I've read, that scene was added afterwards to actually have a regular kind of Friday 13th scene in the movie, I don't know if that's correct. But without it...
It is.
Yeah, but without it, then you can imagine, God, that the movie would have been even more boring. But it's a shame that Jason, you know, because they made a whole thing about Jason had walked from the morgue back to Crystal Lake, a bit like he did in the end of the final chapter. They talked about sort of Jason-style murders happening on the way. And to be honest, it would have been better to have filled the film with his kind of rampage as he's heading back to Crystal Lake, really, wouldn't it? So a couple more scenes of that nature, because that's what the Friday 13th always were. You know, you've got like the random things, like in Friday 13th Part 5, we've got the very strange scene where that guy goes for a poo in the woods when dressed up as leather boys.
Yep.
You know, and it's just like there's nothing, no connection to...
And he doesn't seem to have a toilet roll with him either.
No, which isn't... But you've got those... Yeah, they could have done with a few more of those scenes in, just to sort of a bit more of a nod to back to the series.
You can kind of blame Paramount for this, because I think it's a shame that, you know, a lot of the older Friday the 13th films are so cut, and yet the worst one, when it got handed off to New Line, is actually the goriest. It's like,
I know. Why couldn't they put the gore in all
the older ones, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I was thinking, like I said, it reminded me a lot of Freddy's Dead, where they're sort of under the impression that this is going to be the final one, so let's make it as spectacular as possible by shoehorning in as many ridiculous sort of plot ideas and, you know, special effects as possible. And it just didn't work on either occasion. I mean, I thought the first final chapter, Friday the 13th Part 4, did the sort of final film in the franchise, supposedly, much better by just keeping things as they were.
Well, I was thinking a good comparison to that would be, I was thinking about this with like the James Bond films. Can you imagine if they did like, this is the final James Bond film, we're going to kill him in the first 5 minutes, and then we're going to have random people doing his work throughout the movie, and people would be up in arms, wouldn't they? They'd be like,
they would.
What the hell's going on here? Why on earth are you doing this? It's ridiculous. It's supposed to be the final film, the celebration of all things Jason, and he's not in it for most of the movie. It makes no sense.
It'd be like having, like, going to a Susie and the Banshees concert, and she disappears off stage after 2 minutes, and then some bag lady comes on with a wig and sings the rest of the concert, or sort of squeals the rest of the concert.
What, Toya? I know that would never happen.
No. I'm thinking of Crazy Cat Lady from The Simpsons.
I know this is kind of a minor detail, and I shouldn't really get hung up on it, but I also didn't like how, you know, every time Jason, every time he's attacked, you hear him grunting. I don't want to hear Jason make any noise. Like, he's like, sounds like a wrestler or something.
Yeah. Well, the general consensus is that Kane Hodder is the best Jason. I'm not sure I would agree. Well,
no, I wouldn't either.
He's in the worst movies, so... I still like the guys in 2, 3, and 4, probably.
Yeah. The earlier ones, you know, I think they're... Yeah. When they're... Especially, you know, the second one, you know, it's more of a normal man. I kind of like that better than the whole zombie thing. But you know.
Well, I like in 3 the way he's sort of blank and he feels almost sort of, whatevs. He has that kind of attitude about
him. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Kane Hodder gave him too much personality, which I think takes away from the mystique, possibly.
Yeah, he's a great guy, you know. But
yeah, I know, I do. And I love the look of Jason in Part 7. And I think with the mask on in Part 8, he looks quite good, you know, covered in slime and that. It's only when the mask comes off that things go a bit dodgy. Yeah. I didn't like his look in this one, even though he's only in it for about 3 minutes. But
I also thought in something like Demons 2, you've got the kind of rubber hand puppet running around is kind of quite charming, although it's quite goofy. But in this, I just found it really annoying at the end with that ridiculous kind of rubber kind of dime store hand puppet running around.
I was going to mention the same thing with the things that pull him to hell. It looks like something like out of a, you know, a cheap Jim Henson kind of thing, like Labyrinth or something. Those hands that pull him to hell.
Mm. Yes.
They look all rubber and foamy. Like it just,
they do.
Look really cheap.
Yeah,
it's odd, isn't it? I don't know. You know, they didn't even, I don't know if they even tried to get Betsy Palmer back, considering it's going to be the last film. They didn't even reference her at all, did they, in it? And it just, I don't know. It's
One of the ideas was to bring her back for like a cameo, but she declined, rightfully, I'd say.
Mm. Yeah, but that's the thing is, it feels like it has totally ignored parts 1 to 8, really.
It really has, actually.
Yeah. There is really no reference to any of the earlier films, is there?
It's basically just a newscaster saying Jason has killed 87 people.
Mm.
Here's the movie.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I can guess we can say that this is probably, you know, I'd probably say I'm looking forward more to seeing Jason X.
Yes.
Although I don't think that's a great film, but
it's better than this one.
It's much better than this one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, considering this made...
I like spaceships, so Jason X has spaceships in it. That'll keep me happy.
Mm. But also, I can't believe that... The other thing that I always found odd was they talked about this being the final one, and obviously we knew it wouldn't be, but the fact is that New Line had bought the rights to it. Why would they buy the rights to a series they were going to kill off?
That's the thing.
Didn't make any sense, did it, really?
They want that marquee title, that Final Friday. That really draws, you know, puts asses in the seats.
Mm. Well, it did. I mean, it did pretty well, didn't it? I mean, it did. It was made for a budget of about $3 million, and it looks like a $3 million film made in 1993.
I mean, it only grossed like 15.9. I mean, that's not a whole lot considering. But considering it was only $3 million, that's about five times its price, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of guessing, but when you look at, I mean, without becoming a like box office bore, but the 3 million is production budget, isn't it? And then you probably spend that again on promotion or maybe more. But it's obviously made them a healthy profit, but probably not as much as they were hoping for. But it essentially killed off because I mean, Jason X sat on the shelf for years, didn't it? Or a couple of years anyway.
Yeah, well, I think we all had pirated copies of it before it actually got an official release.
Well, any more thoughts on Jason Goes to Hell before we get onto some backgrounds?
The one thing I want to mention that no one's mentioned is the Freddy at the end pulling his mask underground. I wonder if I've always wondered if they had the draft, what kind of draft they had of Freddy battling Jason before they finally got to Freddy versus Jason. I wonder if it would have taken place in hell, or I don't know.
Well, of course, that was thinking about it, of course, it makes perfect sense, isn't it? That was why New Line bought it, because they had Freddy versus Jason in mind all the way through, didn't they? I think there was it was meant to be made relatively soon after this, wasn't it? And I think I can never understood. I think I'm just going back on memory, and I'm probably completely wrong on this, but I thought they made Jason X really just to keep the franchise, its head above water.
Well, that's apparently what they did with this one as well. I think Sean Cunningham. This is getting into background now, but Sean Cunningham said he sold the rights to New Line to sort of get Freddy versus Jason sort of on the road, and then they heard that Wes Craven had New Nightmare in production, so they had to hold off from doing Freddy versus Jason for a while. So he said, "Well, let's just make another Friday the 13th sequel then."
Well, this film almost feels like they just threw in anything they could just to get to that end bit with Freddy versus Jason.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, what about some background? Do we want to? And we can obviously throw in a few more bits about thoughts on the film. But Nathan, do you have any background on this film?
No.
No, okay. The first one of 2017?
Yes.
It's back.
It's back.
Yeah.
I have some.
Okay.
Apparently there was a comic book that bridged the gap between Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan, and this film. It followed Jason after he was dipped in toxic waste in a New York City sewer. And
turned into a 12-year-old boy in just a pair of underpants.
Yeah, now I'm not sure if the comic book covers this, but apparently it covered his killing spree all the way back to Camp Crystal Lake. And it explains why the FBI has a task force specifically for Jason. I haven't read that. I would kind of like to read that just as a novelty. Jason's heart prop in this film was also used in From Dusk Till Dawn as a monkey man's heart, apparently. I don't know if that's true, but that's what I read. In addition to his roles as Jason and the security guard, Kane Hodder also played Freddy Krueger's arm in the final scene. So he's played Jason and Freddy, so that's interesting. The original title of the movie was Friday the 13th, Part 9, The Dark Heart of Jason Voorhees. Interesting. One early concept for this movie was Jason Goes to L.A., in which two rival gangs would be fighting, and then Jason would show up and start murdering them. This would force the rival gangs to kind of band together to defeat Jason. Kind of has a Predator 2 thing kind of vibe, if you ask me.
All right, Jason Takes Manhattan vibe.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if would he have spent the first hour of the film on a bus getting to L.A.?
Jason Goes to Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
In some of the extended interviews of the Crystal Lake Memories documentary, Noel Cunningham said that the original rough cut of Jason Goes to Hell was over 130 minutes long, and it had to be heavily re-edited to be faster paced and under 90 minutes long. It could have been about 50, if you ask me. This is the first Friday the 13th film to have another Voorhees other than Jason in the movie since Friday the 13th. It's also the only Friday the 13th film in the series to be released in the 90s. Kane Hodder, who portrays Jason, was severely burned over much of his body during a stunt gone wrong some years prior to this film. And as a result, the skin of his body, except his head and face, is somewhat discolored and disfigured. So one day after filming, he was peeling the Jason costume and makeup off his body when a young child of a crew member who was brought to the set to see what it would look like to make a movie, he became frightened of Kane's burned skin. So Kane calmly and sweetly picked up and hugged the child and told him that his body just looked a little different and there was nothing to be afraid of. And he let the child touch the skin on his arm to see that it didn't hurt him. The child
come over here, little boy. Touch my skin.
The child immediately calmed down and had a fun time talking to Kane. It was seeing this that made director Adam Marcus, and later hearing that Hodder spent much of his free time at children's hospitals, realized that despite often playing violent or evil characters, Kane Hodder, quote-unquote, had a heart of gold. And that's all the background I have.
Okay, I have a few bits and pieces. Okay, so it was filmed in primarily, the initial shoot was filmed in August and September of 1992. As Justin said, a budget of $3 million. Reshoots were then done in early 1993. Adam Marcus, as I said, was only 23 at the time he got the directing gig. He was childhood friends with Noel Cunningham, who's the son of Sean. And both of them had actually hung out on the set of the original Friday the 13th in late 1979. So his connection to the series goes back to then. I still think it was a mistake to hire a 23-year-old to direct a sort of a, I wouldn't call it a tentpole movie, but a significant franchise entry. Dean Lurie's script had other initial titles as well. You mentioned The Dark Heart of Jason Voorhees. There was also The Black Heart of Jason Voorhees, and also Friday the 13th, The Ninth Life of Jason Voorhees was another title they were thinking of using. But according to the Crystal Lake Memories documentary that you're referencing there, they say that when they sold the rights to New Line, they didn't have the rights to use the title Friday the 13th. They only had the rights to the title, to the character of Jason. So that's why this and Jason X don't use Friday the 13th in the title of the film. Kip Marcus, who plays Officer Randy Parker, is the brother of Adam Marcus, the director. You were mentioning something about you thought it looked like it was filmed at a different frame rate, and Joseph, earlier when you were talking about it, which is odd because it was.
Oh.
Yes, okay. Sean Cunningham insisted it was shot at 22 frames per second as opposed to 24, so that when the film was projected, it would appear slightly faster, because apparently he had this distrust of actors to perform fast enough for him, and he thought that using this technique would speed the film up considerably. And it's a technique he had used when he directed Deep Star 6, and he insisted that Adam Marcus do the same thing on the final Friday. But this brought its own technical issues, though, because lighting had to be adjusted for the different frame rate. I wouldn't know sort of about that, but also the sound had to be adjusted accordingly. And Adam Marcus sort of blames this technique for the necessity of having to go back and do reshoots, as he said he made a 90, now this is totally contradicted elsewhere, but he said he made a 90-minute movie, but then when they projected it back at this different frame rate, it turned out to be 80, so they needed to go back and find an extra 10 minutes. But but then Noel
Cunningham, like 2 frames off the normal rate. It's like,
yeah,
dude, just learn how to direct a scene. Don't rely on well, shot exactly. frame rate.
I know. Wow. That's the thing. But then Noel Cunningham, as you said, says that the initial cut was over 2 hours long, and that and Sean Cunningham says that only about 45 minutes of that was usable, which is why they had to go back and do all the reshoots and put in some more traditional Friday the 13th type scenes in it, like the camp scene. And there was, you know, apparently there was different, there's stuff that was cut out of that original work print. Was Erin Gray and the sheriff were about to get married and go off on honeymoon. Jessica was not dating the obnoxious news reporter in the original version of the film. Let's see, what else do I have here? The jungle gym that's on the grounds of the Voorhees house is where the action takes place at the end. Is that what they refer to it as?
The
jungle gym that's on the grounds of that is the exact same one used in Hitchcock's The Birds, because they got that from the Universal Props Department. And another prop, authentic prop that appears, of course, is Sam Raimi's Book of the Dead, which they borrowed from the set of Army of Darkness, because they'd be Adam Marcus and Dean Laurie had been on the set of Army of Darkness visiting KNB, who of course did the special effects on Jason Goes to Hell, and they hooked up with Sam Raimi and he gave him a loan of the original Book of the Dead for use as a prop in this film. And that's about all the background I have. I was looking through an old Fangoria from 1993, looking at what the feedback was like from fans of the film in the letters section, and it seemed to be half and half. Some people absolutely adored the film, and other people thought it was rubbish. And actually, IMDb. Sorry, I got this one from the IMDb message boards. Somebody said, "If you want a good example of a poo movie, this is perfect, and it's easy to get hold of." And I think that summed it up quite nicely.
They said poo.
Yeah.
All right, Justin Kurzweli, well, what feedback from you?
I have, background. I have nothing,
background, yeah.
nothing to add, really, apart from what you've already said. Because I think you've covered everything that I had written down.
This didn't get a cinema release over here, did it? I think it went straight to video.
No, I think part...
It did in Ireland, I think.
Did it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It went straight to video in Ireland, I mean. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, right, okay. Yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't think, I think part 6 was the last one to get a cinema release here on the double bill of April Fool's Day. And then after that, the next one to get a cinema release in UK was the remake.
Freddy vs. Jason.
Oh, Freddy vs. Jason, but in the true series. But it's kind of, I do wonder what it would have been like if they had have made Freddy vs. Jason now, at this time, or like, say, the year after, to capitalise on the meagre success of this film and what their plans, what it would have been like. I mean, I'm kind of glad they kind of waited. I mean, looking back, Freddy vs. Jason is not a great movie, but it's probably better than it would have been if the people who made Jason Goes to Hell had made a Freddy vs. Jason in 1994, I imagine.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's been so long since I've seen Freddy vs. Jason, I don't really even remember what happens in the film. I'm actually kind of looking forward to seeing it.
I really liked it when I saw it in the cinema, and then I bought the DVD when it came out, and when I watched it again, I was like, oh, I was kind of underwhelmed. It's not awful, but...
I'm afraid that's what's going to happen.
Mm. It's,
I do know that...
It's much better than Jason Goes to Hell.
I'm sure it is. I do know it was a box office phenomenon, so I wonder...
I'm surprised there wasn't a follow-up.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder if it would have been as successful back then as it was when it actually was released.
I kind of guess it's a thing of timing, isn't it? Because when Freddy vs. Jason came out, it was a huge hit. It was massive. It just hit that kind of peak, that perfect time to release a film. Where you had that the nostalgia built to such a degree that you had an audience of people who would have maybe loved the movies when they came out, and also a younger audience who had that kind of love of them as well, but had never seen it at the cinema. Whereas a film like Scream 4 came out at the wrong time, because that nostalgia hadn't built to a kind of fever pitch by that point for those films. But I think if it had come out, it would probably been a bit like a damp squib, probably. Mm. I don't think it would have resonated much with audiences. I think, say, the mid-90s is such a wasteland for horror movies. I'm trying to think, actually, of any horror movies in the late 90s. Well, obviously, the Scream franchise was the kind of the major one, wasn't it? It was once Scream got underway, and then you start getting Urban Legend and... Disturbing Behavior, all those kind of late 90s films, they kind of, some of them obviously better than others, but the, before that, before Scream hit big, it really was between 93 and 95. I don't really recall much coming out. I'm sure there must have been films, but nothing that really resonated or something.
Well, you had like Candyman, or that might have been like 92, but.
Yeah, no, Candyman was a blip, wasn't it? Candyman was a great, you know, it was, I mean, because that was actually a cinematic film, wasn't it? It actually felt like a, you know, it, almost an epic compared to, well, it was an epic compared to, you know, Jason Goes to Hell. Okay, what do you want to, before we get, well, before we get onto some feedback, should we just play how people should get in contact with the show? Because we are going to
yes, please, Mummy.
Yes, because we'll be coming up to our 6th anniversary show at some point in the near future. So anyway, this is how to get in contact with the show. What's that laugh for?
Oh, I was just thinking what we're going to cover.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. Well, here's how to get in contact with the show. We'll tell you later.
Listen to The Hysteria Continues on iTunes, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to us on YouTube. You can email us directly at thehysteriacontinues@gmail.com. Keyword, The Hysteria Continues.
I say she's young and groovy.
Cool and groovy.
Yeah. Right, okay. Well, Joseph, do you want to... we've got some feedback from people on the forum, haven't we, or the Facebook page. Do you want to let us know what people thought about Freddy vs. Jason? No, not Freddy vs. Jason. Jason Goes to Hell, even.
Okay, Mark Christopher says, this was the first Friday the 13th film I ever saw. I saw it at a sleepover and thought it was scary at the time. Now I know it's the worst of the series, and I find it almost unwatchable. I will say the tent scene is still amazing and has always stayed with me. I love the Friday the 13th series, the reboot included, but this is the only exception. Even Jason X has a few moments. That was Mark Christopher. Adam Dillon says, oh, come on, it's not that bad. Great sex scene and great death scenes in the unrated version. Amanda Reyes, who was on our last show, says, I'm surprised to see a little bit of love here for Jason Goes to Hell. I thought I might be the lone Wolf McQuaid on this one. I saw it when it came out, and it was just a fabulous experience. The audience was really into it, which only added to the excitement. Although I will admit, one of my friends absolutely hated it and sat next to me with his arms crossed. So I saw the disdain for this film fairly early on. I just can't knock it. It's funny and cartoonish and violent. It's a little meta before we knew what meta was. And since I loved The Hidden so much, I found I enjoyed the weird body-switching twist this film brought to the series. Also, remember, this was 1993 and pickings were slim. That's not to discount the film, only to say that any theatrical horror at this time was most welcome. Jake McCoy says, this movie makes me think of a little girl in a pink dress trying to push a hot dog through a donut hole. This movie is entertaining trash and best sex death scene ever, if you watch it uncut, of course. Rogue Scholar, I like that name, Rogue Scholar. He says, despise this movie, but since you guys are covering it, I will begrudgingly revisit. Bob Hartshorn says, Jason jumps the shark, but what a shark, eh? Batshit crazy and a whole lot of fun. It's like a throwback to the universal horrors of the 40s when Frankenstein and friends started to invade one another's franchises. It may be regarded a terrible cinematic mess by most fans of the series, but I think it's a relentlessly entertaining hoot. The monster mashup finale is a scream. Oh, come on. Somebody has to like it, and I love it. Let's see. What else? Dave Rendon says, I've wanted to tell Eric to go to hell for 2 years now. What did you do to make this guy mad, Eric?
I don't know.
Anyway,
no.
Don Amici. He says one of the best of the series, in my opinion. While not needed, the change in storyline works in creating a different feel. The action is plentiful and leads to some of the best gore in the series, as long as you watch the unrated version. And there's some solid setups throughout here. True, the new storyline is weakly spelled out, but the other positives work to overcome them. Tom Virtuoso says, I saw Jason Goes to Hell in theaters and once again unedited to see the full, weirdly prolonged sex scene, which was honestly a solid kill. The opening FBI trap will always be a total blue baller considering everything that happens after that, But if you pretend you're two different, you're watching two different movies, the whole diner attack is actually kind of fun. Estelle Phillips says, so I will try and defend this one purely on the basis that it's fucking ridiculous, which itself makes it enjoyable and fun. So many crass but hysteria-inducing references to other horrors. Freddy, Deadly Spawn, Evil Dead. It is clearly ripe to be torn to shreds in line with other comments, but it is almost borderline genius. I sense underneath it all is probably some intelligence and a sense of mischief. Man, I can't read today. John Matthews says, ah, the 90s, when horror franchises went off the rails. I rented the big Roadshow Australian VHS of this as a kid. I rushed it home and remembered watching it with my mom. She was a fan of the other Fridays, and we were both confused by what exactly this movie was. I don't recall hating it, however. I think the Freddy vs. Jason reference at the end really got me excited. Years passed, I watched it on DVD in early 2000s, dismissed it as crap. However, upon a recent Blu-ray revisit, I was pleasantly surprised by this one. Okay, it's more like Wes Craven's Shocker. You've got Jason teleporting from body to body. Just ignore Friday the 13th, and you've got a pretty entertaining and pretty stupid movie. Good amount of gore, good pacing, and a dark 90s look. And you got one of the most bizarre slashers. Marcus Saucer Eyes. That's a nice name. He says, it's fucking awful, and I'm a huge fan of Friday the 13th films. This is just all kinds of wrong. Alex Bowley says, hated it the first time I saw it. It's not a Friday film. It's a Shocker ripoff with the Necronomicon chucked in. Now I actually quite like it for its difference. Still not a Friday film, though. LOL. I guess he thought that was funny. Hello. Is it people still here?
Yes, we're still here.
Reading to myself. God damn it.
It hasn't been recording for the last 10 minutes.
Anyway, Chris Thompson says, couldn't you just watch two episodes of the Friday the 13th TV show instead? Groan. John Jung, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Don't need a cat to flush that excrement. That's funny.
Yeah.
Maddie Thomas Taylor says, while it's been roughly 2 years since my last viewing, I remember being oddly fond of this film. I knew what I was in for and found the film entertaining. In spite of the fact that it's essentially a large poo on the Friday the 13th lore. He said poo, Eric.
Poo is funny.
Yeah, it is. Quite entertaining in its own right. Special mention must be made of the fact that it was seen indefinitely following Rob Zombie's Halloween. Need I see more? No, you don't. Andrew Rooney says, truth be told, I've never made it through this schmozzle. That's an interesting word. This is an 80s dog poo of a film. The white poo that used to turn into dust. What is it with poo references? What were we feeding our dogs in the 80s? This is the 90s.
Wasn't that? Did we talk about that? It was a ghost poo, wasn't it?
Was that what it was?
Well, that's what used to. As kids, we thought it was ghosts had pooed.
So, I wonder if ghosts need to poo on a ghost toilet.
Well, that's why, because it was to do with the, when you saw white poos, they were ghost poos.
Oh. Never thought about that.
Okay. That's interesting. Mark Harrison says, it's better than people give it credit for, but it leaves a bad taste in horror fans' mouths because they used an established franchise with an iconic character. It would have been better received had it been a standalone film and not meddling with a beloved mythology. Warren Money says, I saw this at the movies at a premiere screening. I didn't win tickets in the local entertainment paper and was absolutely gutted. It was the first Jason film to be shown at the cinema since Part 6, and I was desperate for a ticket. I called the paper, the distributor, cinema, everyone to get a ticket. It meant that much to me. I even, hate to admit it, cried on the phone to one poor soul who took time to listen to how much of an Uber fan that I was, and still am. This tactic paid off, and I finally scored a ticket. Groveling does work. I can remember it vividly. It's like watching a car accident. Happiness, joy, acknowledgement, greed, dread, I'm sorry, fear, shock, and disbelief. Still really wanted to love this film even after I saw it. The film does have a classic moment or two, especially the split camper and Creighton Duke is badass. Still, a nadir is a nadir, and three crap movies in a row starting with 7 tarnish what was once a strong and enjoyable franchise. My two bobs worth. Alan Dorich says, I love this film. Bring it. Vaughn Colmier, I hope that's how you pronounce it. It starts out great, but quickly becomes a total bore. It's a good idea. Let's bring back Sean S. Cunningham to produce this, and it does nothing for it. Also, Kane Hodder is the worst Jason ever.
Controversial.
Yeah, very controversial. Let's see. Scott Witherall, he says, I saw this movie in the theater when it opened, and I was disappointed. Holy hell, has it been over 23 years now? However, I last saw the film a few years ago at a convention where John D. LeMay was attending as a guest. I watched it as if it were not a Jason film and not as a continuation of Jason Takes Manhattan. By that standard, it wasn't horrible, and the killing in the tent was definitely one of the best in the entire series. Plus, it planted the seed of Freddy vs. Jason. Having said all that, though, I'd still go to any of the 80s Friday films before this one. Andrew Rooney says, this carried on the tradition of not giving the audience what they were being teased with. After Jason didn't take Manhattan in Part 8, he doesn't go to hell here, does he? Both premises are mouthwatering, but given TV movie budget, scripts, and actors. Asia Ramey says, I remember going to see this at the theater when it came out with my best friend. We were both so excited for this movie, hoping it would be a worthwhile ending to the series. Unfortunately, we were both super let down and haven't been to the cinema since.
Whatever.
Wow, I guess not. Ben Scher says, the first Friday the 13th movie I got to see in the theater, early proof that my generation was screwed. Ara Alishan says, Jason goes to hell and drags the entire Friday the 13th franchise down with him. That's cute. Matt Minter says, you're forcing me to finally watch this. I remember the summer this came out. They had Jason show up at the MTV Beach House. I think Jason killed one of the VJs. Eric Kent says, I'm all for something different, but just not this. The only positive note I can make on this film is the unrated kill in the tent, arguably one of the best in the series. I think that's kind of the general consensus. Let's see. Mikey Faulkner says, definitely the worst in the series, although the reboot comes close. Like Halloween Resurrection, I put off watching this one for years, and it was just as awful as I was anticipating. Shame, shame, shame. Andrew Beryl says, the worst Friday movie, hands down. You can't take 8 movies of continuity, even though it was a bit shaky, to say the least, and shit all over it. Body-jumping demons, Jason has a sister, homoerotic shaving, incest, necrophilia, no thanks. Jonathan Watkins says, least favorite in the series, and it's not even close. Sophie Rose Jerebeck just says, like, ugh. And finally, Justin Kosh, or Cook, I always pronounce his name wrong, says, you know, I defend Rob Zombie's Halloween films by saying, if it weren't about Michael Myers and Haddonfield, people would be a lot more appreciative of it on its own terms. I should follow my own advice and watch this one on its own terms, not as a Jason movie, but I just can't bring myself to watch it again. Maybe someday. And I think that's it.
Wow, that's probably one of the
yeah.
Yeah, considering
the most.
Exactly, considering how bad the film is, it certainly strikes a nerve. And it's, I wouldn't say you either love it or hate it. I think most people don't, you know. But, thank you for writing in, everyone, one and all. So that was good. So I don't think we've got any other feedback, have we? I think it's all on the Facebook
this time. No, nothing yet.
No, okay.
For 2017 yet.
No. Well, we've got, who knows what's coming for 2017, as in, are there any kind of horror movies, slasher movies, things you're looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Alien Covenant, but it's not a slasher movie. Well, it probably is, because have we covered Alien?
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that looks, the trailer looks good, doesn't it? I mean, it looks like it's, he's returning to it being a horror movie, isn't he?
Well, it just looks like more like Prometheus again, which I liked, so...
No, I don't think it's supposed to be much more like Alien, though, isn't it? I think it's supposed to be going back to the dark kind of, you know, because it's got instead of a chest buster, it's got a back buster.
Oh, that's what's coming out of its back, is it? Oh, I thought he was mutating into a monster or something.
Oh, that's what I thought, anyway. Mm. So anything else?
Yeah, let me do this game thing. I got a new set of questions. Someone actually guessed the last one right. It was a Rush Week, and Tristan Comer guessed it right.
Ooh, so. Well done, Tristan.
Yeah, well I'm thinking of a new Tristan. Movie now, and I have 3 clues, so here they are. New movie, 3 clues. The first clue is Good Fences. The second
good
clue is
Good Fences.
Yeah, Good Fences. Yeah. That's a saying here in the States. Good fences make good neighbors, but the clue is just Good Fences.
Oh, is it Alan Dale's in it?
Yeah, maybe. The second clue is Not Happy, Just. And the third and final clue is Two for the Price of One. So good luck on guessing this one.
Hmm.
Okay, another brain teaser.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So are we... We will be back. We've got the 6th birthday coming up, haven't we?
Yes, we've got a special one.
Got very special. Although
special. I've yet to watch this special movie. So. Yeah.
Oh my god!
I've never watched it either, so it's going to be a treat for. Well, I'd say a treat, but it's kind of special in all the wrong ways, I think. But hopefully it should be. Would you say it's going to be Nathan and Joseph? Is it going to be a fun one to talk about?
Yeah, I think it will be because it really is the bottom of the barrel.
It'll be interesting to listen to you guys. What you think about it.
We just thought it'd be interesting instead of doing a really great movie to do a really, really bad one. So our next film for the 6-year anniversary is going to be Axum.
Ooh. Yes. And we're going to have a special guest with us, aren't we?
Yeah, the guy who picked it, David Millay, also known as BTK on my forums, he will be joining us, apparently. Yes.
Apparently. Well, we shall see. But look forward to having him on the show to talk about this classic.
We can blame him.
Yeah, it's always good to have someone to blame. So we will be back at some point in this month, not quite sure when. I think this is going to be going out, obviously it's going out ahead of Friday 13th, but and we shall be back towards the end of January, I expect, at some point. Mm. So
yes.
Hopefully a lot more slasher shenanigans to come in 2017 and beyond. And hopefully you've all picked up your copies of Happy Birthday to Me with a Blu-ray. It's been getting...
What, us, myself, Joseph and Nathan, or the general public?
Well, the general public as well. But you've all had your copies, haven't you?
They did a really good job on that Blu-ray.
Yes.
Yeah. I was quite pleased with the presentation.
Yeah, it looks great, doesn't it? I mean, it's a really nice package, and it's got a great little booklet with it stuff together. What?
A nice package.
Oh, for goodness sake. Trying to start 2017 with a more professional, sober approach.
Yeah. Whatevs.
But, pick it up if you haven't, because they've already almost sold out of their first, three of their original... They've released... maybe about 6 movies, and 3 of them have already almost sold out. So this one probably is close to selling out. So it's definitely worth picking up when you get a chance to. So we will be doing the Pieces. Arrow have announced a new Blu-ray release of Pieces. I think they're even putting it out as a 2K or a 4K release, aren't they?
Yeah, 4K.
4K, yeah. So we'll be part of that at some point coming up, and there's some other things on the horizon, but we'll tell you about those when we can. So I hope you'll have a. Hopefully, we'll still all be around. We don't all be blown to hell, like Jason is at the end of this movie. Talking of horror movies, did you see that 2016 trailer as a horror movie?
No.
No, it's on Facebook. Someone did a trailer it's called 2016. It was about as if 2016 was a horror movie, and it had Donald Trump as a slasher villain at the end, bashing through the door, trying to kill them. It's quite funny. It's worth a watch. But hopefully we'll still be around for 2017. So plenty to come. And what are we playing out with, Joseph?
Well, I didn't like any of the mute.
Echo.
No. Oh, for goodness sake, just get over it.
Anyway, I'll take my headphones off here. I didn't like any of the music in Jason Goes to Hell, so we're playing out with Go to Hell by Megadeth.
Okay.
Because I want Jason Goes to Hell to go to hell.
Okay, fair enough. And on that bombshell, on that crackle, thank you for listening. And we'll be back as professional as ever in 2017, a little bit later in the month. So say goodbye to the good people.
Bye.
Bye.
So, are we all excited to be covering this classic?
No.
I think it's amazing. Funny men. Young, cool, groovy.
And then I said, yeah, but that's not my flashlight.
Oh, for goodness sake.
And well, you should go back on the 13th of March.
Why is that?
Because a certain pop princess is going to be playing there.
Oh, God.
And not just Toya.
Yeah.
You also get Paul Young, China Crisis, and Martika. A part of the 80s invasion tour.
China Crisis. I haven't heard that in a while.
So make sure you take March the 13th off, because it's a Monday. You'll need to take the day off work.
I wonder if there's an ISIS hotline you can...
That's horrible!